Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to another Richard Herring's Landing Soon in Theatres podcast. Though I was talking to the bloke from The Guardian who says Shrek is a bad film, and he says people who call it Rahalastapa are idiots. Apparently he's a very contrary guy. 20 years since Shrek film came out, which meant 19 years since I decided that Shrek in things was a good idea. I've been trying to write this week. I love every part of the writing process except doing it. That's the only part I don't like. So I haven't got much done, but I've got some stuff to get on with. Not much stand-up to tell you about this week, but I took my 6-year-old daughter to the supermarket this week, and we got to the trolley, and she's quite a big 6-year-old, and she said she wanted to sit in the little seat in the trolley, so I had to lift her up, and I got her in there, but it was quite hard. And there's a point where you're just too big to go in the seat in the supermarket trolley, and I remember that myself. And I told her, I remember the moment when how sad I was when my mum said I couldn't go in the supermarket trolley anymore. I was in Western Supermare, and she said, you know, you're just too big now. And I remember being heartbroken, and my daughter said, how old were you when that happened? And I said, I was 28 years old. And because you're never too young to hear your first 28-year-old joke. She actually said, no, you weren't. How old were you? And I said, oh, I was 8, which is still quite old, to be fair, for that to happen. But there's something quite poignant about that, about those moments in childhood where you realise you have to leave something behind. And my daughter's getting close to that age. Supermarket trolleys, at least. Which made me sad. Anyway, the live-streamed Rahalastapas are not exactly coming to an end. The regular ones are. We're going to still do some of them, but this is almost the last official one we're going to be doing before heading over to the Clapham Grand to start doing live shows. We are doing one more that will be out next week, but we're recording on the 2nd of June, which is the day this one will go out, with Nigel Planer from The Young Ones and Nicholas Craig and lots of other stuff. I'm very excited about that. Huge fan of his. So you will be able to watch that one on Twitch when it comes out at 8 p.m. on the 2nd of June. I forgot that I was going to be in seeing my parents that week because it's half term. So I will be recording my end from Cheddar. So there's every in Somerset. So there's every chance you won't get to see it. I'm not sure what the internet's like in Cheddar. They do think the internet is the magic of the Wookiee Hole Witch. So you never know. But you can come to see those gigs at the Clapham Grand. There's still some to come. Go to richchaney.com/gigs. We've got some fantastic guests on the way. Let's crack on. My guest this week is probably best known for being the chief officer of the Cheshire Association of Local Councils. That's why we're all here. I haven't had many council people on the show, but I just thought it's time to get... I'm not going to go for any rubbish. They've got to be at least chief officer. It's Jackie Weaver, ladies and gentlemen. Here she is. Hello, Jackie Weaver. How are you doing?
Hello, Richard.
Oh, it's lovely to see you. We have just been talking for an hour on your podcast, so we'll carry on talking ourselves. But I did say to you that now you... I did accidentally call you Jackie a couple of times on your podcast. I apologise. Very forward. But also, you are now Jackie Weaver, right? That's it. Everyone calls you Jackie Weaver in full every time they talk to you.
They really do. It is
sort
weird.
Of an, it's sort of an opposite share. It's not one name. Now you're a double name and you're Jackie Weaver. How does that feel? Do you feel okay about being known as Jackie Weaver rather than Mrs. Weaver or Ms. Weaver or Jackie?
Oh, God, I wouldn't want to be called Mrs. Weaver or Miss Weaver. It always sounds kind of like, yeah. Well, certainly Mrs. Weaver always puts 10 years on you, whoever you are.
Definitely on me.
I guess I kind of feel Jackie doesn't quite sit on its own.
No, but yeah. You also don't, you know, for me you don't feel like it. There's maybe we haven't seen that much of you. We've seen you in this powerful situation, and I don't want to be offensive to Jackie's, but Jackie doesn't seem the right name for you at all. So Jackie Weaver does, though.
Yeah, you see, I've always felt like that. I felt that it's just not my... What about Rebecca?
Maybe Rebecca.
Could we go for that?
I mean, Jacqueline, is it Jacqueline? Is that what you're christened? Yeah, Jacqueline. Maybe.
Mm. Maybe. Oh, it sounds like I'm in trouble. I can hear my mother in that. Jacqueline.
Yeah. Do you remember the last time you sat in a supermarket trolley in the little seat, not necessarily as a student? Do you remember? Is that moment stuck with you? Because it's really stuck with me. I don't know if it's the last time I sat in or the last time I wasn't allowed to sit in. Do you remember?
No.
It was a big deal for me that moment.
Yeah, clearly.
I'd like to think of you sitting in a supermarket. It's kind of fun to think of an adult in a supermarket trolley sitting in that little seat. And it's very hard to envision someone being 5 years old and being deserving to be in there. Would you be prepared to sit in a supermarket trolley little seat if I got one to you and said, I'm going to wheel you around the supermarket?
I think it would actually bend the space-time continuum for me to be able to do that.
Well, you know, any of us would bend the supermarket trolley, I think, if we're trying to get in. But, I mean, the leg holes are so little.
They are.
Could you put your own kids, do you remember putting your own kids in those? I don't know how long. They were definitely in the 70s, because I was in them in the 70s.
I don't have to come here to be insulted, you know.
I know, but, you know, I'm just wondering when they began.
They definitely had supermarkets when my children were young. And the supermarkets definitely had trolleys. Okay. I can still remember trying to squeeze their little legs through. That I do remember. And that way where you kind of just like pull them from the front, ignoring the screams of pain. Because you're determined to get them in.
And their shoes come off when they take them out. Yep. It's a terrible thing. And if it's two of them next to each other, which we used to do, we haven't done that for a while. I think they're too big for that now. Then they're just fighting each other. One of them wants to get out. It's awful. Let's talk a little bit about your incredible rise to notoriety and fame and how that happened. Just in case anyone's confused about where you come from and why we're talking. You sort of overnight, I mean, it's sort of an overnight viral sensation of this Handforth Parish Council meeting that got... It was out for a couple of weeks, right, and then a comedian edited it down to a sort of more palatable length.
It's even a more tortuous story than that. I mean, it actually started back at the meeting itself was the middle of December. So before it quote, hit, we were looking at the beginning of February. So we've all moved on. We've had COVID Christmas. We've had all the drama that comes with trying to, you know, match Christmas with the COVID regulations, etc. So No, we really had all moved on.
Yeah.
When I first heard that anybody was showing an interest in it, I thought, oh my God, what did I miss? So I got the, you know, I went and had a look for the recording and found the recording, thinking I must have missed something. I must have done something horrendous during this meeting. And it was pretty much like I remembered it.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. A couple of young politics students in London had picked it up on the internet. And they kind of edited it down into a kind of more YouTube-y format. And that was what went viral.
Yeah.
Rather than the actual recording of the meeting itself.
But it's sort of it. It's an extreme. I mean, it's so unexpected. Like you say, you could never even have imagined on the day or even months afterwards that suddenly something like that would go to that extent. And I suppose what I find interesting. So you've been called into as an outside party, really, to try and settle this problem within this council. And there's obviously a couple of Bolshie characters within this council.
I mean, certainly part of the job is hostage negotiations.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't, you know, I often tease people that, you know, when nobody ever rings me up to say, I just thought you'd like to know how good our council's getting along these days. They ring or they email or they get in touch with us because we are problem solvers for local councils.
Sure.
It was interesting that you introduced me as the chief exec. Yeah, absolutely right. Sorry, chief officer. Thanks. That's exactly right. But it was a title I got in lieu of a pay rise one year. So it does sound far grander than it is. I work with two other lovely ladies, as it happens.
Sure.
But, you know, there's a team of three of us. You know, it is what we do when things go wrong. And things don't always go dramatically wrong. Often we're looking at situations where people just can't find some common ground. They both are happy to look for it, but they can't actually find it. That's often something that we're involved in. We don't usually see the level of hostility.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extraordinary thing to watch. Again, I probably haven't seen the absolute full version. I've watched a couple of shorter versions than the full thing. But the guys in charge, it seems, I mean, they seem so angry and so upset with you. And what's sort of extraordinary about watching it again is nearly all of the catchphrase bits that have come out are said by other people. What's sort of remarkable about you is you just managed to sort of stay calm amongst all this nonsense. So there's people being unreasonably furious, it seems, unless something's happened that we haven't seen where you've tortured their kids or something. And then there's people making sort of basic Zoom errors. Like there's a funny bit where Julie's iPad, she's got a phone call from someone else and saying, I'm just in a meeting. So it's sort of got everything, this little snippet, in that it reminds us all, you know, it comes at this exact right time. It shows people failing to use technology properly, which we can all identify with. It shows things going wrong. And then it's the sort of extraordinary anger up against your absolute steely calm and reasonableness. And it's sort of, you know, it's an extraordinary thing. And I guess because the guy named you and we have this, the catchphrase of you have no authority, Jacquewida, you don't have the authority, Jacquewida, that we know your name. Otherwise we don't know the name of any people. But you immediately sort of are the standout star of it and have made good use of the catchphrase and stuff, even though apart from the Britney Spears one, maybe, they're not actually yours. But we all get it because it's the wonderful just ejection of these furious, awful men in the face of a reasonable, clever woman, I suppose, that makes it beautiful.
I guess one of the things that kind of resonates with me is that, I mean, so often we see things that are wrong. You know, I mean, we come across people who are just wrong in so many different ways. And most of the time in the day jobs we have, you have to just navigate round it and, you know, do the best you can with it. And in that one moment, it was like summary justice was dispensed.
It is.
Yeah, I get that. And I think it's, you know, I think that's something that people can really buy into. Because I think, you know, a lot of people ask me about, you know, how you first get involved in local democracy, why people get involved in politics, etc. And I thought it was kind of unique to me, as often we do. But actually, a lot of people get involved for exactly the same reason. It's a sense of injustice.
Sure.
Something's wrong and we want to put it right. And I think that's kind of often the glue that binds us.
Yeah.
So I think that's what people kind of resonated with on some level.
And it was because being reasonable won. And I think we're just so used to seeing, you know, the unreasonable and people, you know, the media's sort of intent recently seems to be to the other, all those guys would have be on panel shows and doing their stuff now because, oh, they're so horrible and rude, let's get them on. But actually someone just being reasonable in the face of it and not getting upset by it. So, you know, it's a beautiful sort of feminist moment, but I think also anyone who's just had to confront a troll or just someone who's furiously angry, it's just that it's the it's just the lovely way they're all dispensed with, I suppose, as well. But and it sort of hasn't gone well. It's gone very well for you, and lots of, we'll talk about the stuff that's come out of it for you in a minute. But the actual, pretty much all of those, the ruder people within the video have all sort of resigned or been asked to move on from their positions. And did any of them even get interviewed? I never saw any interviews with those guys. Did they try to make any traction out of the...
No, they refused to do interviews, but
yeah,
two of them released their own videos, allegedly explaining their side.
Right.
Although having watched them, I'm not sure that I gained any greater insight into their side.
Yeah.
That they seemed to feel that they were technically correct in doing what they did and were provoked into doing what they did.
Right.
Neither of which I actually agree with, but
no,
there we go.
Doesn't seem so. And they were some, did they complain about you? There were some complaints about you.
Oh, they made a formal complaint about me, which was investigated. And that is unpleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, so but it sort of rebounded very. I mean, fair enough, because that's interesting. These are guys who are, you know, they've been elected to do something, and if they've then seen to not be behaving in a, you know, I think just how whatever had happened, even if you had done something, which seems hard to believe, then the level of anger and derision and sort of, it's like a little madhouse, isn't there? That guy just laughing hysterically. It's like the people of, you know, it's more like bedlam than a council meeting. So, you know, there should be some repercussion for them, and it seems like there has been, that they've had to sort of step away from what they've been doing.
I mean, that's been their choice. One of them has stood down. The younger man, the very angry one, has stood down. The older man who's chairman has stood down as chairman, but he would have been required to stand down as chairman in May anyway.
Right.
And I think that the Cheshire East councillor has stood down as a parish councillor, but it remains a borough councillor. But I mean, what makes me angry is the things that they, you know, Brian Tolbert, for example, the chairman, in his rebuttal video, and the text that goes along with it says, you know, who was this woman and why was she there? And I'm thinking, you know who I am, Brian. I was round at your house about 3 years before when you invited me to talk to you about something. And I remember sitting with a colleague that I could name, sipping sparkling water while your builders were in. You knew who I was.
Yeah.
You know?
But again, it seems, you know, I think they're probably trying to cover their asses a bit, but it, you know, it's sort of so, you know, even if it was just, I'm always suspicious when you see something on the internet and you go, well, I haven't heard the whole story, I haven't heard their story, but you go, why would one side be so angry and the other side be so calm? And, you know, and it's, but it is lovely that, like, immediately, you know, once it was out, once it sort of found the right level, that you were sort of heralded, and it could easily have been like a flash in the pan, which I presume you assumed it would be, that there would be in the
Absolutely.
News for a few days.
2 days.
Yeah.
It kicked off on the Friday, And I said to my husband, let's just enjoy it. It'll be finished by Sunday night.
Yeah. And so it's still, you know, very much in people's minds. And you were on the Brit Awards in the opening sketch with the Line of Duty guys. Which I have to say, and I did say this in your podcast, you were extremely good in that. Often when someone who's not acted before is called upon even to play themselves in a sketch like this, it's a bit clunky and weird. But you it's well worth checking out the video if you haven't seen it yet, and that you're acting alongside, you know, some of Jack Whitehall and some of the greatest actors in the country today. And
I mean, that really was... I mean, the pleasure for me was seeing it kind of grow.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're kind of like, we're all on a Zoom screen. You know, we've had the script. One of them hadn't had the script, so was given the script. And you go from, I mean, this is probably second nature to you, but you go from reading it to moments later, they are actually able to. And I think particularly, is it Vicky's piece where she talks in acronyms?
Right, yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, you know, you're there still struggling to get out your name, you know, and suddenly they have, not only are they in character, but these are, you know, the lines, and with a bit of improvisation as well.
John. Yeah, well, you know, they're very good. But my point is you're holding your own amongst those people, which is incredibly impressive. And I'm not sure I would be able to do that. So, yeah, you know, that's good that you were good. But lots of other things have come. I mean, you've had lots of offers of being... Have you had panto offers? Did Andrew Lloyd Webber has written a song about you? I read somewhere. Is that true?
Yeah. No, I mean, he wrote... it felt like more like an anthem, to be honest. Right. I felt, you know, the nation could get behind it. It was that kind of big sound. But never even exchanged a text message with me, even to this day.
Right.
So I don't know about you, but I think that's more about him than it is about me.
Well, it's still... He probably didn't text Evita, did he, when he was writing about her? He probably just got on with writing about Eva Peron. So, you know, you're like... He's got to maintain a distance from his subjects. Do you think it could be a whole... They could write a whole musical about this experience? I mean,
I'm sure they could, but I'm not sure I would necessarily want to go and watch it.
I think it just could be my...
I thought my track was much better. Did you not listen to that?
I haven't heard that, no.
Oh, that's quite good. With Helen Meissner.
Okay.
That's much better.
Okay, I'll look at
that. And I was actually involved in that.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I kind of felt much more connected to that because I'd actually spoken to the person that did it.
Okay, I'll look out for that. I missed that one. Joanna Lumley's played you in a sketch.
Yeah, that was funny. The last
leg. Did she text you?
No, but it was, again, all done by... I mean, the fact that we'd still been on lockdown during all of this meant that, you know, I was able to do 100 more things than I'd ever have had time to do. But, yeah, I was starting to feel a bit like the mascot for The Last Leg. And again, they were so... I mean, I keep saying it. They were so nice.
Yes, you know, they're nice boys.
Yeah, and you kind of feel that you're... They don't make you feel stupid, slow, even when you are. you know, you kind of feel momentarily that you're part of something. And that was nice.
But I think they wouldn't... There's, you know, I think even within that short, you know, bit that everyone's seen, the relatively short bit, you come across as such a reasonable person, it would be sort of weird... To try and take the mickey out of you in any way would be odd because you would just be joining in with those guys and you'd be putting yourself on those side of the guys, which I'm sure if you're on Twitter, you've probably had the occasional person taking the side of those guys because that seems to be what Twitter is like. Yeah. But you know, I think it's such a lovely, positive story from your perspective, I think, and all this stuff coming out of it is very nice. And you are now... You've moved into my patch now, Jackie Weaver. You are taking over the internet, doing a podcast, which I've just recorded my episode of, in which you ask people weird, odd questions like I do on mine, which you'll find out in a minute. So that's pretty amazing. And I've listened to the first two and I've just done one, so I know what it's all about. So it's a sort of you're asking questions of celebrities. You had Jeremy Vine on the first one. Mm. Who seemed very excited to meet you.
And again, I still am amazed that people are kind enough to say, yeah, I'll spend some time with you. I mean, that's just, you know, amazing.
Well, that's the nature of celebrity. You're an overnight celebrity, and you know, it might be a thing that doesn't last very long. It might be something that leads to a whole new life for you. So that's kind of
They'll have to be quick. Otherwise, there's not enough of me left to invest
There's plenty of time. And how would you describe the podcast, and who are the other guests who we've got coming up?
Oh, gosh, lots of them. Jay Rayner, Tom Allen, Anton Dubek. He's a nice boy.
Well, you like Anton Dubek,
don't
you?
I do. Yeah. I do, very much. Jeremy Vine, your good self.
Yeah.
Reverend Kate Botley. She was hysterical. She really was. And I say lots more people that are kind of coming along as time goes on.
And what sort of questions are you asking? Because I can nick them off.
Well, I cannot be held responsible for the questions. The questions largely are submitted by people on Twitter. Who, when we know that there's somebody coming up, they're invited to offer the kind of questions that they may like the answers to. And I kind of assumed, you know, that people would want to know the answer to the really big questions in life. You know, what will life look like after coronavirus? Can I go on hospital? Can I go on holiday to Tenerife? You know, can you put butter on sandwiches? Or is that just wrong? What goes on scones, or are they scones, first? Yep. Jam or cream? And these apparently... And what's your favourite cheese? Cheese comes up a lot. Dairy products? The country is obsessed with dairy products.
What is your favourite cheese, Jackie Weaver?
I have two, to be honest. Okay. I like smoked cheddar.
Okay, good.
Particularly on pizza.
Controversial.
And also blue cheese.
Okay. I mean, the blue cheese is a big area. You can't just say blue cheese. That's just like saying my favourite cheese is cheese.
Well, in which case it would have to be Danish blue.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
I'm not so keen on the Stilton.
I don't like Stilton. I like blue cheese. I like blue cheese, and I don't like Stilton very much.
Yeah.
I'm glad it just comes along at Christmas. I'll have a bit at Christmas, but I don't like it. I like the French ones, really, with the blue cheeses. There you go. So it's already interesting. I was asked about how I'd cope if I had to meet aliens and alien invasions and things like that. So it's quite a broad reach. And how is this going to... Are you going to do this every single week? Is this going to go on for a protracted period of time? Or is this going
to
be...
I think I will have to give it up round about 79.
2079. But you know, you can, as I demonstrate that this is... Oh, hello, we see your husband in the background. Hello. It's not quite as good as a child coming in and dancing in there, but it's quite exciting to see your husband.
I don't think he dances, though.
It's a shame he had his clothes on. Well, it'd be fun. I'm sure that could be get a viral moment with you. That would be the actually perfect thing to happen.
It would surprise both of us if that was not the case.
I've done about 500 of these, Jackie, is what I'm saying, in one iteration or another. So, you know, you can keep going forever. You can have people back. You can have new people all the time. So it's, you know, it's an endless... I suppose it's too early. They've literally, as we're recording this, the first ones have gone up today. So it's too early for you to know whether it's getting big numbers or not, and whether it's drawing in huge amounts of money. But
I guess there's two different things there, although there may be slight overlap. I mean, one is that there is absolutely no point in doing something that nobody's enjoying. You've got to get something out of it. And actually, money. It's quite an interesting one, because somebody said to me the other day there, not quite so blunt as you must be rolling in it, but actually... More than 95% of what I do, I don't get paid for.
Sure.
I mean, that might just be because I'm too simple to ask. But at the same time, I kind of think, well, that's not really the key point. I mean, if a business asks me to do something, then of course I will charge them.
Sure.
But I've also enjoyed spending hours with young people up and down the country in students' unions, not literally because... alcohol would be involved. And, you know, young political groups, all that kind of thing. And that's what I enjoy doing. And sure. You know, you certainly don't charge them.
Well, you know, I mean, I know you didn't. You should have got paid for doing the sketch in the Brit Awards. I bet you Jack Whitehall got paid. Should have got paid for that.
He did have a slightly bigger part than I did.
Well, but he's nothing without you, that Whitehall.
Oh.
He latches on. I've seen what he does. He finds beautiful women and latches onto them, and then he climbs up the ladder that way. That's how he does it, Jackie.
Right. In which case, his eyesight must be failing him then.
Well, I hope you will start making some money from it, but also, when I started podcasting, nobody was making any money from it, so I completely understand that, and it was, you know, I was doing it for the fun of doing it, and it's kind of interesting to see that people are keen to do it, but also, you're very good, and like, for somebody to come in, I know you've obviously chaired lots of meetings, and you've had lots of conversations with human beings in your life and your job, but it's a slightly different thing to step into being recorded and know it's going out as entertainment, and you're extremely
relaxed. They were recording it.
I hope so. I hope they're recording this. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. But, you know, a lot of people get freaked out by appearing in a big TV sketch with actors or interviewing Richard Herring. I mean, a lot of people would find that very intimidating, and you seemed to have an almost disregard for me, Jackie, in the interview. So, sorry, Jackie Weaver. Sorry.
Part of it is I've no idea who you are.
I know, that's good.
But I think the other part is I kind of hope I see the person.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mean I've got all the, you know, all the facts and all the details on your private life, so I know things, you know. But, I just kind of see the person. Someone was showing me. Funnily enough, it was about Jack Whitehall, and he was doing a sketch on why do we keep getting milk from everything? You know, is there nothing we can't milk these days? And you're talking about, you know, soy and almond and stuff like that. And that was hugely funny. But apart from that, you then kind of like the camera then showed the audience. And wow, that is a lot of people. I think I only ever had, quote, stage fright in my life once. And I was invited to speak at a national conference. And I was told I was going to speak at the Fringe event. So I walked into what I expected to be a room of 20 or 30 people, just standing at the front of them on a level with them, talking to them about it would be local government. And I walked into this room, one of those rooms where, you know, it has a very modest door. And they open the door and it's like an amphitheatre inside. And the room seemed to me to have 500,000 people in it. There was a podium, there was a, you know, top table, there was, you know, big screen, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm sitting there waiting to get up to do my part. And all I can think is, I've got to get out of here. And the longer this went on, the more important getting out of there was. So that the only thing that was actually stopping me making a run for it were the stairs. And at that moment in my mind, what was going to be worse, going through with this or falling flat on my face as I fell down the stairs? And that was keeping me there. And I remember eventually getting up and walking over to the podium. And you know when your mouth is totally dry?
I do.
You know, there's nothing. Your head is completely empty. Your slides up there, so you've got half a clue what you should be talking to. And I'm still on the... I can't breathe, never mind speak. I have just got to run. And then I saw somebody I recognised in the audience and started talking to them. Got through it, went and sat down again. I remember picking up a glass that was behind. You know how they have a little screen at the front of the table so you can't see people's papers and things?
Sure.
And I picked up this glass thinking, I'll just have a drink of water, and my hands were shaking so much there was no way that was going to go anywhere near my mouth. And I talked to somebody, well, I talked to Frank, who I was talking to from the floor afterwards. He said, never noticed any of it. And that's the closest I've ever come to run. And I think it was I think if I'd known the audience was going to be that big, I would have been better.
Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise to...
Yeah.
To not prepare.
But why should it matter whether you're speaking to 30 people or 300?
Yeah.
In the case of Jack Whitehall, about 3 million, it looked like.
But I think it's difficult, you know, like it's difficult for, that's what I do as my job, obviously, so I'm kind of used to it, and it's difficult for me to put myself in the, I've certainly had gigs when they're not going well, where my mouth's gone dry, or where you're suddenly outside your comfort zone, and you feel like all those things are happening to you. But I think, like, within just having the, you know, you've just started podcasting, you've just started talking to, you know, asking questions of celebrities, and... You know, you're very immediately hit the ground running. It's very relaxed, and you're very witty coming back with stuff as well. So it's a lovely chat. I think you're too good. I'm a bit. I know it's hit your husband's back. So he's brought you a drink.
More gin. It helps.
Hello, Stuart.
He won't hear because of earphones.
It's in you. And he's a rude man. He won't say hello. He's just do a little dance. Take your shirt off.
Earphones. Doesn't hear.
I think he's watching it online. He's
he's now trying to persuade the dog to get out.
Oh, is he? Okay. I'll try and get my wife to come up. She went downstairs. She was just in there, and then she went downstairs. So she could crash the party as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Are you going to do a panto? Are you going to do? Going to take a panto off
this? I was asked.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously not getting how panto works. I was offered, I think it was a kind of online panto, but you had to go there.
Right.
So I was offered like 2 days in Llandudno.
Okay.
I think I was being offered it at. I think he offered to pay me £250.
That's not very good.
That's dog.
Oh, that's a sweet dog.
She is. Don't very often see her.
Heavy
still smells.
Like...
so offered. I think it was 2 days in Panto. £250. But I had to organise my own travel and accommodation.
Okay. You need an agent. I'll be your agent. But I'll be like this is what my dad says to me. I'll be your agent. I'll be your agent. You get Pantos have a lot of money.
But I was thinking, why would you think I would want to do this? I mean, I was going to have to give up about 3 days with travel and everything.
Yeah.
And I'd say the what they were paying me just wouldn't even cover the expenses.
Well, you know, they're chancing their arm. Yeah. They're chancing their arm, and you've got
to
go back.
So I did
back.
Say no.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you said no. Yeah. Come back. I'm sure you know. I think if pantos are happening this year, which hopefully they will.
Surely. So what should I be holding out for? I mean, in parts.
You can have a nice part. You get your picture on the poster. That'll pull in some people who want to see you. You just have to say your catchphrase, which isn't even your catchphrase. And then you should be getting. They make like 50 to 100 grand over the course of a panto.
Will they make me wear tights?
I don't think they can make you do anything, Jackie. Can anyone make Jackie Weaver do anything? I mean, do you want to wear tights? I'd like to. You can
you
ask
really
extra.
Wouldn't.
I would like to see. I'd like to see Stuart in tights. I'd like to see you in tights.
Yes, okay.
You've got to, you know, I think it might. It's really difficult. Oh, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yep, you just disappeared off my screen. I'll escape you back. It's difficult to know. It's one of those interesting things because I think it's. And I know that you'll be happy either way. You'll either go back to, you're completely back to your normal life, and occasionally people will go, oh, you're that lady from the thing. Or you could have a little career as, and you know, I think you're good enough to branch off and be doing stuff. So I think it's interesting because it's, you know, you're a very capable and intelligent person, and you've got a good sense of humour, and you know, you're just the reasonable, the voice of reason that the world needs right now. So I can see it going well for you, but then, you know, I think you know, you need somebody to look after you, because it's odd to just come to switch professions into. Because that you know, this, the job I work in is ridiculous in that sometimes you'll get £0 and sometimes you'll just, they'll give you so much money you go, what is wrong with you, you know? So it's and you're happy to do it, so you need someone to help look after you for that and make sure you're getting the right offers, because you don't want to go to Llandudno for £250 and then pay £300 on your cabs and hotels.
Yeah, but to be honest, I wouldn't have gone for £2,500.
Right, okay. There you go. Well, that's good. So now we've got. But if it's £200,000 for 3 months in Llandudno, it's not even that, it's probably 10 weeks.
You see, somebody asked me if I'd like to do, what's it called? Cameo? I think there's others as well.
Yes, there's Cameo, yeah.
And I just think, is that really what you want to spend your days doing? Now, I get lots of people contact me and say, my son, whatever, is a great fan of yours and it's his birthday, and if you just say hello to him, he'd be delighted. And, you know, what the heck? It takes me 5 minutes and I send them a video, mm-hmm. you know? And I wouldn't dream of charging for doing that. So the idea of then doing that and that's a kind of job and you get paid for it is like, no.
Well, again, it feels like a thing you would do during the coronavirus if you weren't working as an actor, or at the end of your career if you weren't getting any work, or you just decided you wanted to stay at home. I've had the same thing, and I do the same thing as you. And it's a bad thing to admit it, Jackie, because now people will send you lots of requests and feel like you do. I just say, give some money, you know, I'll do it. Yeah. If you like it, give some money to charity. And I feel it does. There's a part of me that thinks, well, you could do it all for charity, and you could do it officially for charity and make lots of money. But then, it also is, yeah, exactly that. It's the amount of time taken up to do it. But I feel like for you, it's either going to be this little burst of everyone wants you for a little while, and you could do quite well out of doing a few bits and pieces. I mean, there must be. I can't believe an advert hasn't.
No.
Some advertising people haven't come to you say, can you?
Absolutely nobody has asked me to advertise anything.
Right. Well, that just seems obvious. That just seems like, you know, Pizza Hut or whatever. Who would do? Well, you know, Pizza Hut do. They do those, like, when the footballers, something happens to the footballers, that they get you and the other guys on. But, you know, it just seems like a shoo-in for something like that. So
if I was going to advertise somebody, something, yeah. What do you think I'd be in at, apart from Pizza Hut? Would I be, you know?
I think Pizza Hut would be good. I think you need me something classy, something very classy. Yeah,
well, so do I. That's why I'm wondering why you went for Pizza Hut.
Because they're the kind of people who take a current event and put it in an advert. That's why I went for them. They often choose something topical, and like Mikhail Gorbachev did a Pizza Hut advert. So there you go. That's what I'm talking about. I think you could advertise anything. You could do, you know, it's just the whole authority thing is anything with, where they can do a sketch. Well, just basically the line of duty thing is like an advert for the Brit Awards or whatever. That's all it would be, a Zoom meeting where you're in charge and then you go at the end. And I have the authority to say Tampax are really good tampons.
As far as I can remember. I mean, we have to keep it real.
We do have to keep it real.
It has been a year or two.
But you're allowed to lie in adverts, so it's okay.
Oh, no!
Yeah, you're allowed to lie.
You see, that bothers me. I mean, when we see people who advertise products, you know, like financial products, and you're not really sure those financial products are really the best thing for those individuals, that worries me.
I think it's very good. For a long time, I wouldn't, and I don't really do adverts outside of the podcast, but I think the podcast industry revolves so much around, that's the way the model works with Patreon as well, as that you do. You can get people, which I do a version of as well. But in order to make it work, you kind of need to have adverts and maybe do some sponsored reads and stuff. But I'm very careful about making sure I, you know, have some feelings for the things that I'm advertising. But yeah, I think that's the when you see respected 1980s TV personalities who, you know, elderly people are going to trust to say, yeah, put your money into this.
Yeah.
It does feel a bit icky.
Yeah, that worries me.
But people have to make their own decisions about it. But that's show business. So you can make a very good showbiz career without doing any of that, without doing Cameo, which, you know, your instincts are good. I think those are great instincts. I think there's, because of the internet as well, I think there's a place sort of where you can make your own way and do stuff that you feel comfortable with. And it's great that you've started up this podcast, which I think is going to be very enjoyable, and I think hopefully people will get on board with it. So it's
I mean, if they ever want to relaunch Tetris,
yes,
just give me a call.
Okay, that's what you'd advertise.
Yep, children used to call me the Tetris Queen. That's the kind of computer game I like. I can't be doing with ones that really kind of, you know, I like to do things like that while I'm watching the telly.
Sure.
I find it very hard to sit and watch a TV programme, just like sitting watching it.
I'm a bit like we're very similar, Jackie Weaver. we've got very similar hairstyle and glasses. and my blouse, I'm wearing a bit of a blouse today. I should have got a nice necklace on, and then we could be doppelgangers. No, I agree. I like, but I, you know, I'm very. I play.
You do need to get your eyes checked. Really, it's important. Look after them.
We're very similar. Let me. I'm going to ask you some emergency questions, and let's see how you fare.
Let me just get ready for them. Okay.
Okay. Mine is sometimes. Yours are quite surreal because you ask people. Would you rather have a sense of smell that can travel in time? You can, i.e., you can smell any environment from the past or future, but only your sense of smell will travel in time. Or have a free pineapple delivered to your door every day for the rest of your life. Just some qualifying things. You'll only be able to smell things in the past and future, not interact in them in any way. And if there's other smells encroached, you can't like home in on a specific smell. Whatever smells are in the environment, you'll be able to smell. If you wanted to smell King Henry VIII's fart or something, you would have to, you know, get close to him. The pineapple delivery service would be able to find you wherever you are in the world. It would be delivered at 7 a.m. each morning, though left outside your door, so you won't be woken up. And if you want, they can cut it up.
Pineapple.
Okay. Good answer. So, you know, the other answer's more interesting, but that's it. Why wouldn't you want to smell the future?
Why would you?
That's too interesting to know what it smells like in the future.
No, I see. I don't do history, so
yeah, that's true.
That's an issue. And I guess that's kind of like playing it forward as well, so I don't go future history, which we haven't had yet. Okay. And I was thinking, you know, with the pineapples, well, I don't know. I mean, to be honest, you're not going to get through one a day.
But you can share it with other people. I reckon I can eat a pineapple a day.
But you can keep, you know, a small elderly person's home, you know, kitted out with fresh fruit for the week.
It's nice pineapple. Yeah. Don't think a bit of fresh fruit in the morning, like a luxurious fresh fruit, is quite.
Yeah, but, you know, frankly, if you've had it every day, I mean, there aren't enough pizzas in the world to use up all that pizza, all that pineapple.
No, maybe not. You would get sick of the pineapple, right? And then you'd thinking, I wonder what. Wonder what the Battle of Hastings smelt like. Damn, I should have had that. I should have done that.
Oh, you didn't make it clear that you actually have to eat it. You just said it was going to be delivered to you.
Well, you don't have to eat it, but you would presumably eat it.
Now, you see, my husband's very good at getting rid of the unwanted five a day.
Okay.
He juices them.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, it's a much easier way of getting carrots down you.
Okay, he'd be happy. He'd be happy with the pineapple coming in.
Just get the pineapple through the juicer. You know, okay. Down in two swigs, you're done.
All right, I'm going to ask it. This is a good question. This is another money-based question, and I'll be interesting to see. It's a morality-based question. Would you rather have world peace or £10,000 in your personal bank account, tax-free? £10,000.
World peace.
All right.
I would give £10,000 for world peace.
All right, let me ask you this then. If you choose world peace, how much money would it take for you to change your answer? If I offered you £1 million or world peace, £100 million
or
world peace.
No amount of money.
Wow. You're unbreakable. Yeah, that's the thing
with
you.
These are easy.
Well, if you had all the money in the world, you could get world peace as well and then also have a yacht.
I don't think all the money in the world would buy world peace.
Probably make people fight more. They'd just be fighting you to try and get some of the money. Do you fancy having a super yacht like Jeff Bezos has spent £500 million on a super yacht?
No, and actually, this is a really interesting conversation. I remember having the same conversation with one of my children. And I think they had, you know, at one point children say, you know, I want to be rich, I want to have all the money in the world and things like that. And I remember saying to them, you know that, I think it was around the time when Sonic the Hedgehog, or as one of my children used to call it, Sonic Ledjog, was released, and they'd got the game and they were so chuffed with it. So I said to them, imagine being able to buy all the computer games in the world and all the consoles in the world. So they're no longer something you have to save up for. How are you going to get the same pleasure that you've just got for getting that game?
Yeah.
And that I think that's a serious worry.
It's true. It is good. And it is, I think, like, in the olden days a bit, we were made to wait for things. And, like, my kids hardly ever wait for them. My daughter, we went round the garden centre. I can't even remember. I think I was just said we'd go to the garden centre and I'd get them some sweets. Because they'd been good and we'd done something else. I was getting my car washed and they came with me. And then she saw this really... They had a few toys in the garden centre and it was this really hideous push-along unicorn thing. And she went, I want this. And it was 20 quid. And I said, no, we're not getting that. We're getting something small. And then she just kept on going on. But she's been going on about it for about 4 weeks. She really wants this push-along unicorn thing. But she was so cross that she didn't get it straight away. And I'm saying to her all the time, well, look, either you save up if you really want it. I don't think you really want this. If you really want it, save up. And then it'll mean something. But it's interesting that she's stuck to wanting it. Yep. But I think also that it means if she does get it, which she will, because I'm a soft touch, she will feel happy for getting it. So it is, it is true that you need to have, you know, where, I feel like in the 70s when I was a kid that it was more the other way, that we didn't get very much. I felt like we got sweets every week if we were lucky, and that felt like too stretched out. It made me want to eat sweets too much, and it made me, when I could afford to buy my own sweets, just buy sweets for 30 years.
I did that.
Yeah.
I remember being sent to the shops by my mum. You know, I used to go and do the shopping. And then take the change home. And then sometimes she would say to me, you can buy yourself some sweets with the change. And I remember that being a kind of aspiration for the future, that when I'm grown up, I'll be able to buy as many sweets as I want.
I remember thinking I'll just be able to have a bar of chocolate without having to share it with anyone. And that was my aspiration.
I know. Isn't that
and
weird?
And then I've eaten a lot of bars of chocolate since then. And now I've had to stop eating chocolate. So that was my parents were wrong, because all it made me do is want to become an adult and eat sweets forever. But then, so where's the tipping point, Jackie Weaver? Where's the right amount of treats to keep a child so they don't expect to get everything, but also so that they're excited by life, but then they don't then rebel and become sweet addict? I would say it's better becoming a sweet addict than a heroin addict.
We didn't have a lot of heroin when I was young.
They did tell me I couldn't have heroin, and I didn't. I didn't then go and buy all the heroin.
I mean, it's... I guess one of the things I think is interesting is how we portray what's good. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, a treat would be sweets. An apple would be what you could have, you know, because they're in the, vegetable bowl, in the fruit bowl. So, you know, if we then start to say, well, you know, you can have all the sweets you like, but, you know, you can only have an apple on Friday if you're good. Does it change how we look at these
Maybe.
Things?
I don't think so, though. They're clever. They're too clever for us, these kids. They're too clever. Right, I'm going to ask you some classic emergency questions. You can have these for your podcast if you want. You can try this
Thank
one
you.
For your podcast.
Yeah, yeah, I don't mind stealing.
Would you rather have a hand made out of ham or an armpit that dispenses sun cream?
Would I rather have...
It's a perfectly simple question. Would you rather, Jackie Weaver, would you rather have a hand made out of ham that you could eat if you wanted, you could nibble it, it would grow back, you could eat the whole thing, it would grow back in a month, obviously. Just a ham hand. It's made of ham, but it's no pigs have died for it. Or a armpit that dispenses sun cream. You can have up to all the sun cream you would personally need for a year of whatever factor you choose at the beginning.
Sun cream. The other is just too gross to contemplate.
It would be lovely. You could just imagine. Just,
Nope.
Really nice ham. You could put a glove on it to keep it sterile. Okay, fair enough. Jackie Weaver. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes.
All right, tell me all about the ghost you saw and how that...
It's not much of a story. No. I guess it was shortly after my gran died. So, we're talking about what age? I might be about 14, 15.
Okay.
Getting into bed one night, just as you put the light out, I am sure I saw her.
What was she doing?
You were just there.
Okay. But creepy.
It was.
Why is she coming at that time?
Dunno.
It's always at bedtime. That's the problem. That's the, when you're sleepy, that's when ghosts appear. I saw a ghost of my son when I woke up. He's not even dead. And
almost sound disappointed the way he's not even dead.
Well, I kind of thought, when I saw it, I thought he must have died. And he'd be in the other room, which we were talking about in your podcast. He came in, he stood by the bed, and then he went and stood in the corner and looked at the corner. And I went, Ernie, what's going on? And I reached out, and he was completely solid. I reached out, and he just was, he evaporated. But he was like a completely solid. But I was asleep, Jackie. I was asleep.
Yeah, mine does play tricks on you, but I do remember that.
Okay. Oh, well, that's nice. What do you think she was saying by coming back? Just say it's all right? Or do you think, help me?
I mean, that's one of the things I don't understand, why we're frightened of ghosts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it was like Freddy Krueger, yeah, I get that. But, you know, if you see someone from your own life, you know, kind of if they didn't try to hurt you when they were in solid form, they're not going to do it when they're a ghost.
I don't know. I think I'd come. If I'm
not unless you murdered them.
Well, there's that, but it'd be fun to come back and dick around with people if you're a ghost, though, wouldn't you? Someone told me, I think we estimated this before and wrongly, I think something like 14 billion people have died.
God.
There's something like there should be 7 ghosts per person, basically, in the whole history of humanity, like 14 billion people have died. So the fact there's so few ghosts is a bit suspicious, isn't it? Because if they gave me the option, even they said it's a chance, you could come to heaven and have a nice time, or... go and mess around on Earth for a bit until you get released and you can scare people. I'd become a ghost.
Would you?
Yeah, it'd be fun.
No, I'm ready to check. I mean, in this minute, but now I'm ready to check out heaven. Okay. See what standing orders were like. See what the rules and regulations are like. What's the pecking order?
Yeah.
You know, when do I get Gabriel's job?
Do you think you would get into heaven, Jackie, Jackie Weaver, have you lived a good life?
I have.
I think you are. You do seem... I read that you accidentally shoplifted and felt very bad about
it. Yeah!
Whereas I've deliberately shoplifted and not feel, and I don't feel bad about it.
I'll go red even thinking about it now.
So what happened? Your kids took something. It was in a supermarket trolley.
Yeah.
Your kids were in a supermarket trolley.
Yeah, so three of them. So one would be in the trolley, one would be in the seat, and the other one would be, you know, by your hand. And I remember it was in Tesco. Sorry, Tesco. It was at a time when Tesco, even the small branches, used to do children's clothes. They don't where I live now anymore. I don't think that's because of my shoplifting, but they don't do it anymore. And I was looking for various sizes of clothing, and I found a little pack of socks in the size that I wanted. So I said to one of the children, just hold that for me while I was looking through the others. So got something else, put it in the trolley, off around the supermarket, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't until we were out in the car park that Ian says to me, Mum. Why is it Mum always has three syllables? Mum. What do I do with these socks?
So did you take them back or did
no!
you just keep them? Wow.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing is, when you've got three kids and you've got them all back to the car... it's a lot to then go back into the shop and pay for some
Hell
socks.
Hell yes.
So I think I would definitely keep the socks. I think if you accidentally take something and you've got a big trolley full, they've still made some money out of you. It's okay. It's still all right.
But if they want me to pay them back, it's fine. I'd be happy to.
Now this has been on this podcast, that'll be in the Daily Mirror. That'll be in the journalists. You'll find this. Journalists, just listen to the podcast and then just take, even though that story is already in the newspaper, that'll be in the newspaper again. And then all those guys who you've destroyed their life of by coming into their meeting and telling them to shut up, they'll come back. They'll be waiting for their revenge. If they die, they're going to come and haunt you. Jackie Weaver, those guys.
Shoplifter.
Very good. Let me see. Oh, I'll ask you a classy question. This is classy because I think you're a classy woman. Let's find out. If all the art galleries and the museums in the world got together and we said, we love Jackie Weaver, we loved her on that video and how she treated with those horrible men, you're allowed to take one item away from any of her. You're not shoplifting, we're giving it you. You can choose one thing from any museum or art gallery in the world. It's probably going to be an art gallery because you don't like history. What would you take and have as yours?
A Fabergé egg.
Wow. It's a very immediate Fabergé egg. Have you got one in mind, or you just like the idea of having one?
No, so, whichever one they feel they can spare.
So is it jewels, bejewelled eggs at Fabergé, or are they just made of beautiful material?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, they're just exquisite.
It's sort of things the Russian aristocracy had.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'd be a lovely Easter gift, that, wouldn't it, as well?
Well, I wouldn't be giving it away.
And also, you know, you could eat. I'd get a Fabergé egg and then eat my boiled eggs off it. And I would. I know this is from the other podcast. When you take the top off properly, don't crack it like my wife does.
We talk about a scimitar to do it with.
You could. That'd be nice. Fabergé egg is a good answer. Thank you very much. And I'll ask you one more emergency question. I might ask you more than one. I think this is a good question. Let's see if you agree. Would you rather be Prince William or Prince Harry?
William.
Why would you rather be Prince William? It makes sense.
I don't know either of them. Honestly, I don't. but my information of them comes direct from the media.
Okay.
But what I see is one who threw the family under a bus, and one who put the family before himself.
Yeah, I've heard other stories about the one who put the family first, about him not putting the family first, though, so I'm not so sure. Yeah. I think it's also...
That's where my information comes from,
yeah,
so... That,
but it's also, like, on another level, Prince William is trapped still within this slightly toxic atmosphere that he can't... You know, it's a duty he's got to fulfil. I can understand why you would choose that. I think you're a woman who understands duty and what your job is. Whereas Prince Harry is at least free, even though he'll never be entirely free. So he's sort of gained his freedom a little bit from that weird environment. I wouldn't like to be in the royal family.
Oh,
like
God, no. No, I wouldn't either.
No. You'd have a Fabergé egg, though, if you'd were. You'd probably have a few.
But it's a choice. I mean, you choose the lifestyle. I mean, you know, William could walk away.
Yeah, but he can't. It's difficult, isn't it? They can't. It's sort of. I feel. Well, have you watched The Crown? Do you watch The Crown?
No.
I feel they've. You know. I don't. I just feel sorry for them. All of them, really. I don't think it's a thing I'd want to swap my life for, to be in that situation, regardless of all the money and everything. It just seems a lot. Certainly, in recent years, a lot of misery for the members of the royal family, falling in love with the wrong people. And being made to do the right thing, supposedly, and that's—it's very much like the chocolate. My mum not giving me a bar of chocolate. Camilla Parker Bowles is sort of like a really big bar of chocolate that Prince Charles wasn't allowed to have. He ended up having her anyway, didn't he?
He should have stuck with the chocolate.
Perhaps. Good. Well, look. I think we're nearly done. Let me have a look. It's been really. You and I have talked for a long time because we've done. We've done about 55 minutes here. It feels incredible. Is there anything else coming up that you want to? So the podcast, which is called Jackie Weaver Has the Authority, Is that the correct name?
It is.
Which you can get wherever you get your podcasts. That will hopefully be ongoing forever. There's an episode of me coming up. Is there anything else exciting in the pipeline?
There's a couple of bits which I can't tell you about.
Okay.
And then, yeah, book.
And of course, you going to do a book?
Yeah, well, it's done.
Brilliant.
But it's just the editing stage at the moment. So that was quite interesting.
And okay. What's the book? Is the book about? What's the book about?
I like to think of it as a book of common sense.
Okay, that sounds good.
Of course.
Very good Christmas gift. How's the Cheshire Association of Local Councils? Anything coming up that we need to know about from for the rest of the year? Are you still able to do your work, your chief officer work?
Yeah, busy doing it. I mean, I just means that I work weekends and evenings. Who needs a social life? Well, I never actually, I've never been big on a social life anyway.
No.
I kind of, the day job is very interactive with people, and it's kind of nice to be unpeopled from time to time. That makes sense?
It does make sense. You've got Stuart there at home with you, coming in, looking after the dog. I think he's missing you. I think he wanted to spend a bit of time with you, working too hard.
Well, he's been brilliant. I mean, clearly, you know, to kind of do all the stuff that I've been doing and continue to do my job as well means something has had to go.
Yes.
And that's just largely been anything to do with the house. and again, people often say, oh, what's it like when you walk down the street and you're recognised? Walk down what street? you know, Stuart goes and does all the shopping, you know.
Well, I was just about to ask you whether I know every time you interview anyone or you get all the catchphrases thrown back at you. I was wondering if that happened if you did go out. But has that got to the stage where it's still fun, or is it getting to a point where you're thinking, this is going to be annoying if this is every conversation I have for the next 10 years?
It's not allowed to be annoying. it's not
getting some biscuits this
time. Yeah, a biscuit as well. Not allowed to be annoying because that would really be biting the hand that feeds you. And I definitely got the impression I did pop out to the supermarket. And I had that sense of people actually looking at me, questioning, is it, isn't it? but I think the funniest one was when I went for my jab. I've got my second one coming up this week, but I had the first one. This person, a young person, you know, mask and everything, says, are you Jackie Weaver? And I go, yes, as you do. And then his mum came up, you know, this elder, even older than me. And, you know, she says to him, who's that? And he says, it's Jackie Weaver. Who's she? And then they then have this conversation between them while I'm standing there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, at any moment now, they'll want a selfie. No.
Well, that used to happen to me all the time. So what would happen, because my comedy's always been kind of a cult thing, even when I was on TV and I was in a double act in the 1990s, and someone would come up with a group of people very excited and go, oh, my God, you're Rich Chang, I love your show. And then all the friends would go, who is it? And then the person who'd recognise me would feel embarrassed that they knew who I was and that no one else did, and sort of almost turn on me, even though they'd come to me and like me. So, yeah, it's a weird thing. I just think it sort of fascinates me, this sort of overnight fame and having done something else for the rest of your life and then suddenly get this and I don't think, you know, sometimes when it happens on the X Factor or something, I worry that the person it's happened to might get into trouble and might not be able to cope when the fame goes away, and I don't think that's going to happen to you, Jackie. I'm fairly confident
totally
that you'll be okay.
I totally get it though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, for the first month it could go at any moment and that would have been fine and Stuart and I would have dined out on it, as it were. I now know I will miss it.
Right, that's interesting. But also, it's just to happen, you know, so suddenly and so out and so unexpectedly and not and absolutely not asked for as well. That's the thing. It's not like you've gone, oh, I've got a little plan. I'm going to make a little video. I'm going to put it up and maybe 10, you know, 100 people see it, whatever. It's absolutely out of your control. I feel sorrier in a way, even though I don't, for the horrible men in the video, because they just come across as horrible men, and that sort of affected their reputation, whether rightly or wrongly.
But I guess if like me, you knew more history.
Yeah.
You wouldn't.
I'm pretty sure from what I think's interesting about that video, I think you get a very clear idea of who the people are. All of them, the people who say a little bit, the people who say a lot, the person who just answers the phone. You get a very good idea of who they are. That's why it's sort of genius. But it's a very fame is a very difficult thing to cope with. It's a difficult thing, I think, for younger people to cope with.
Yes.
It going away is very difficult to cope with. But I just think when it lands on your... I'm glad that you're enjoying it, and I'm glad that you want it to continue. But that's what fascinates me, is this, this unasked for thing turning... It's sort of like a Twilight Zone curse, isn't it? Like you're rubbing a genie's lamp and suddenly... something's been foisted on you that you wouldn't necessarily have wanted, but you're finding it enjoyable at the moment. I mean, you must be finding it enjoyable.
I couldn't do. I mean, an awful lot of time and energy has gone into this over the last 3 months.
Sure.
And if every time I spoke to people, or started something new, I was kind of like stressed up to hear over it, I wouldn't be able to keep doing it.
No.
And I genuinely kind of get something out of every interaction. So as I say, to such a point that I know I will miss it, and I know I'm also lucky to have a life to go back to. I think for me that's the kind of most important thing, is that, even if this is a period in life that is finite, it will have been a fantastic experience.
Sure.
And I can witter on about it till I'm 90, even if no one's listening.
Well, I'm sure they will continue listening. And I think the podcast is... There's a lot of interview podcasts out there, but I think it's a good one. And I'm not going to recommend it, because then people won't watch mine. Watch my what? No, do. It's absolutely brilliant. I'm sure the book will be brilliant as well. It's been really lovely to meet you and talk to you for the last hour and a half, 2 hours and a half. God, my goodness, we've been talking a long time. We'll see you again. We'll be back next week with the podcast with Nigel Planer. And then all the ones from Clapham coming up. Do come and see us in Clapham if you get the chance. Thanks very much. Thank you, Jackie Weaver. Goodbye. I'm not going to say the I'm not going to say the catchphrase. Thank you. Thank you, Jackie Weaver. You have been listening to Rahala Slipper with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Jackie Weaver. Thank you very much to Scant Regard for providing this banging new theme tune. I hope you're enjoying it. Thanks to Pest as well for playing for so long, but we had rights issues with YouTube. That's why we got a new... Wait, let's get a new tune, I say. It's good anyway. I'm indebted to my friend and director and producer, Chris Evans, not that one. I'm indebted to Ben Walker, my producer, and everybody at ACAST, the British Comedy Guide, and everyone who knows me. Thank you very much for listening. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. You know you can get a badge at GoFasterStripe.com/badges. GoFasterStripe.com also has loads of downloads and books and fantastic things, and a club version of its own as well, so you can get their shows delivered every month. It's a fantastic enterprise created by Chris Evans, not that one. And you should support them in whatever way you feel is appropriate.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.